This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is April the 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2014. Our topic tonight is ADHD, what is your daily diet of attention? And with us in our virtual studio tonight is Dr. Ari Tuchman, a frequent guest on Attention Talk Radio and one of our favorite guests for these particular topics. Real quickly, some announcements for those out there that are coaches. And if you're not a coach and you're looking for a coach, or if you're a mental health professional, the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference is around the corner, May 2nd to the 14th in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information on that, go to ADHDcoaches.org. If you go there, look me up. I'm presenting, and I'll be running around shooting a bunch of Attention Talk videos while I'm there. A reminder, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association Conference is going to be held this year in July in Orlando, Florida, just up the road from me. To get information on that, go to add.org on that. Then three announcements here related to the children and adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. First is they're having a virtual conference that is going to be Saturday, May the 3rd, from like 9:45 in the morning to 5 p.m. at night. You can get for more information on that, go to chadd.org. Also, I think they're having their first annual Walk-In Family Fun Day. It's scheduled for Sunday, May the 18th at Belmont Park in Arlington, Virginia. I think it's to get everybody out to support, raise some money, raise some awareness. It's a great time of the year and a good location for it. So if you're in the area, you need to check that out. And again, to get information, go to chadd.org. And then finally, the annual CHAD conference is not that far away. It'll be in November in Chicago, Illinois, and you need to go to the same address for that, chadd.org. I think that's all of our messages. Tonight's show, because of travel schedules, mine in particular, it needed to be pre-recorded, so we're going to run it in entirety. We did have Dr. Tuchman on for this, and it's so much fun. We've done so many shows on boredom, what is attention, what is intuition, self-esteem, and it's interesting, kind of all roads or all conversations with Ari ends up kind of going back to metacognition, which we get to. This is actually one of my favorite shows and topics. We had a good time. So without further ado, we'll run the show, and we hope you enjoy it. We're here tonight with Dr. Ari Tuchman. He's a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He's the author of three books, Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functions Workbook, More Attention, Less Deficits, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, An Integrative Treatment for Adult ADHD, a Practical, Easy-to-Use Guide for Clinicians. He's a frequent speaker and has given more than 250 presentations on ADHD and other topics. He has over 100 episodes and over 1 million downloads of his More Attention, Less Deficit podcast. He's a member of the National Board of CHAD. For more information on Ari and his books, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, Ari, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here, as always.
As always. I always love having you on. Always love the topics we get into. And our topic tonight really is, what is your daily diet of attention? And Ari, we've done a couple shows that I think really kind of build into this. One of them was what is attention? We covered that a while ago. We did a show on boredom, And we did a show on metacognition, which is a little bit of thinking about what you're thinking. And today I just really kind of wanted to explore to you the big umbrella is there something that a person with ADHD can learn by observing their daily diet of attention? So I know that's kind of a broad kind of question, but just to I figured we'd just kind of jump into things and kind of see where the conversation takes us. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And this whole concept of diet of attention, I think, is a really interesting one because, you know, as much as we talk, especially in the world of ADHD, but, you know, everybody, as much as we kind of talk about the importance of managing your attention, I think that, you know, in the importance of kind of good self-control and good strategies and things like that, I think a lot of it really begins with what's going on around you and, you know, what is it that is pulling at your attention in the world around you. And if you want to make good choices in the moment, it's much easier to do that if you've set things up, you know, in a good way to begin with. In other words, not too many distractions. We, you know, talk about distractions and, you know, use this diet analogy of kind of, you know, junk food versus healthy food and all that.
You just said something that was called pulling at your attention. And when you said that, I had it like this, like you know, a magnet, you know what I'm saying? Like these things that just your attention just kind of gets attracted to. When you said pulling at your attention, were you thinking anything in terms of like a magnet, like what naturally draws your attention, or was it a little different?
You know, I wasn't thinking magnet, but I like that more than what I was thinking. Like, I think it's a great, you know, I think it's a great concept because it's sort of, you know, there are some things in the world around us and also some thoughts in, you know, within our interior world, so to speak, that we're naturally, based on our personality, we're naturally more drawn to. And some of that is basic kind of biological stuff like something moving quickly at the edge of your vision is hardwired that you're going to, that will grab your attention and you'll probably turn. Because evolutionarily, that's a good thing. Like if something is moving quick at the edge of your vision, you want that extra split second of warning to be able to get away and, you know, to safety or whatever. So, you know, some of it is very basic biological processes. But then other stuff is, it's more kind of personal in the sense of, you know, like for me, I do some woodworking on the side, which means I own woodworking equipment, and sometimes I'm lucky enough to use it. So if I walk into a room and there's a piece of furniture that's particularly well-made or there's, you know, some interesting aspect to it in terms of the joints or the wood or whatever, I will absolutely pay attention to that. Now, if my wife walks in, she'll notice some different things. And if you walked in, you might notice some different things. And, you know, so based on our personal preferences, there are some things that we naturally get pulled by and other things that have no magnetic force at all. You know, so like the color of the walls, I might not notice at all unless it's something really particularly notable. But my wife would pick up on that really quick. So, yeah, there are certain things that have more of that magnetic force. And what it means is if you are okay with naturally being pulled to that, then that's fine. You just let the momentum sort of take you. But if it's something that you're trying not to pay attention to in this case, then it means it takes more effort to kind of resist that pull. It's like holding magnets and pulling them apart from each other, or that piece of metal away from that strong magnet. It's going to take much more force to not notice that, or to, to not notice it and not be drawn by it.
Yeah, well, you used the word natural because my next question for you was, is do you think people have natural patterns of attention that kind of reoccur, and I think you're implying that they do.
I think absolutely.
At least you think
that. Yeah, you know, what we pay attention to really has something to do with our, you know, our personal makeup. And some of it is sort of like who we are inherently, but some of it also is kind of where we are at that point in our life. And I think that, you know, to me, kind of the classic example of this is, you know, if you're in the market for a new car and you're looking at this particular model, you're going to notice a lot of that. Every time that car drives by, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, one of those.
Yep.
And the thing is, you know, last week when you weren't looking, there's exactly the same number of that car driving by. You just didn't notice it because it wasn't on your radar screen, so to speak. So, you know, some of it is this kind of, you know, more deeper level thing, and then some of it's more sort of situational in terms of where our attention naturally goes. And at the risk of kind of jumping ahead here, I think that that's good to know about yourself in terms of how you then set up the situations around you so that it works out more the way that you want it to.
And that's kind of what the notion of this conversation was. And everybody, this is kind of funny. Ari and I talk a lot about some different things. This is one that we did kind of cold. I said, I think I sent it, I'm like, I have an idea. I'm like, hey, let's do this. And we got on this call about 2 seconds before it went live. And that is that if we do have daily diets of attention, one of my questions is does it make some sense for you to observe it in a kind of a metacognition way? Because if you can't inhibit or you can't really manage anything that you're not aware of. And if our hypothesis is you have natural patterns of attention or instinctive or your own blueprint of attention, it would seem to me that it would make some sense that if you can observe them cognitively in the whole context of thinking about what you're thinking, it might be advantageous. Thoughts?
Absolutely. You know, I think that this idea of diet of attention, I think that we can really sort of extend the metaphor to kind of, you know, your food diet in the sense of, there are foods that are healthy and good for you, and then there's kind of junk food, which it feels good in the moment, but it's not really that good for you. And a little bit here and there is fine, whatever. But if you're eating too much of the junk food, then that's going to be a problem. And I think it's the same in terms of attention, that we have important things, you know, quote, healthy things that we need to pay attention to, like school and work and, you know, just responsibility kind of stuff, as well as other kind of relational things, like when our kid is talking to us or our, you know, romantic partner or something, you should probably pay attention for the sake of the relationship. But then there's all this other stuff that pulls at us. And certainly technology brings a lot of, you know, attention seekers to us. But then there's also all the other stuff in the world. So so it's a matter of kind of being conscious of where does my attention tend to go? And when I get distracted, as in, you know, eat junk food, what are those distractions? You know, in the same way that if you're trying to manage your diet better, the first thing you got to figure out is what actually is my diet? You know, what do I tend to eat? Are there things I'm eating too much of, or are there things I'm eating not enough of? Same deal. If you want to manage your attention better, are there places that are grabbing your attention more than they should? And are there things that maybe should get a bit more of your attention?
Absolutely. Well, I have some thoughts on diets of attention, but I want to run to a break real quick, and then I'll come back and I'll share a few of my thoughts, Ari, and you can share some of yours, and we can kind of see, compare and contrast that stuff, because I think it's kind of fun. For our listeners out there, to learn more about Ari or to buy his books, go to adultadhdbook.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a time timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got Dr. Ari Tuckman in our studio, and we're talking about the daily diet of attention. Before the break, it was fascinating. I think we're pontificating that everybody has a daily diet of attention, and it's all different, and it's somewhat maybe instinctive or natural. And we kind of hinted on the value of maybe metacognition of recognizing it as a tool to help management. And before the break, we were talking about things that people might pay attention to. And Dr. Tuckman, I'm going to use a little bit of vernacular that's personal vernacular that you're familiar with, just so you have a context, is for me, when I'm paying attention to what people's attention is as opposed to their object of attention, common diets that I find are people that focus in on paying attention to try to get insights. Sometimes some people have a very strong a diet of attention to try to fix other people's or to solve problems. Other might be drama. They're very attracted to just drama anywhere. Others I find sometimes they pay a lot of attention to being the object of attention at varied degrees. Some people have a very, very strong diet of worry, while others are a more minimum. And then some have a diet of like kind of daydreaming. These are all kind of high-level stuff, but can you, your thoughts on that, and then maybe share some other things that you think might be like different types of food groups, if you will, of attention.
Right. Yeah, I think it's, you know, this analogy just keeps going, which is great. I think that all of those that you just described, I think, are really kind of a helpful way of looking at the array of what it is that we pay attention to, in that people who tend to worry, it's that they have a hard time pushing those kind of thoughts out of their attention. Like, those thoughts keep coming into their attention somewhat unbidden, or at least, you know, beyond the ability to sort of manage as much as the person would like to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being aware of that, and being aware that that is where your attention is going, as well as the fact that there is something of a momentum effect, I think, to attention, in the sense that we tend to pay attention more to the things that we're paying attention more to. You know, that if mm-hmm. If your attention goes, like in the case of worry, always to what are the dangerous situation aspects of this situation, what are the risks here, what are the problems that could happen, it's very easy to kind of continue to find yourself in that negative
mm-hmm.
loop.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that's interesting to me is I've coached some people that pay a lot of attention to worry, and the notion is if you understand that you have a large, you know, a big helping of worry in your day, you can begin to think of how can you crowd out worry, if you will, because you're saying, hey, listen, you know, I go back for seconds and thirds of worry. Maybe that's not so helpful for me, but maybe there's something else that I can focus on in terms of paying attention to that can kind of, because there's one that I can just overcome it and like a metacognition type thing, like I'm just going to not do that. Or another one is just functionally say, listen, I'm going to try not to scoop so many helpings of worry. Maybe I'll add on a scoop of trying to solve insights. Or, I don't know, maybe I want to pay attention to exercise and sports. So if I'm focused on the ball, really it's a means to crowd out worry, if you will, as opposed to keep the helpings on. Thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, unlike food, where we can simply remove some things, with attention, you can't just remove, like, I will now stop having anxious thoughts. It's that, because we're always thinking, our attention is always occupied with something or other. So it's not just a matter of taking something out, it's probably also then a matter of putting something in the sense of, mm-hmm. like, what are better things for me to pay attention to here?
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's something like worry, or if it's a student who's not getting their homework done because they keep getting distracted by other things, well, where is it that their attention goes, and what are other things that we can put into their place or make stand out a little bit more so that they're more likely to focus on the stuff that we really do want them to focus
absolutely.
On. It's kind of like the same, you know, the food analogy is, if you're eating too much junk, then maybe you need to put more of the healthy stuff into the fridge.
Yep.
Or go to the restaurant that has more of the healthy stuff so that there is a real kind of fighting chance that you're going to actually eat some of the healthier stuff rather than just the junky stuff, because that's really sort of all that's there.
Yep, yep. You and I wrote an article for Attention Magazine on boredom. It was kind of cool because we talked about boredom and what it was, and we came up with some strategies and stuff to do it. And you had some great ones, and I had some that were kind of cool. I want to bring drama is one thing that I've noticed sometimes an individual has a very large helping in terms of their daily diet of attention. And it's fascinating because what that would look like is somebody who's attracted to watching like reality type TV shows, ones that, you know, in the day, you know, something happens and everything's very, very, very dramatic and they kind of going on. And the notion of if you begin to realize that your natural patterns of attention are attracted to drama and maybe you overeat, if you will, on drama, the fact that you recognize it, you can begin to look in the future and walk in and say, hey, listen, I'm going to go to this thing, and this has got the characteristics of where there'll be a lot of drama, and you actually realize, if I go there, I'm going to be like a magnet to that. So now you're conscious of it, and it opens you up to the notion of maybe managing the situation a little differently. Now, that's just a thought that I've had and kind of work with some people. I'm just interested in your thoughts on that concept.
I think it absolutely applies, that, you know, we tend to autopilot a lot through life, and mostly that's a good thing in the sense that, you know, kind of the cliche example is, if you had to really think about the process of getting dressed, as in, here are all these things, and they're kind of solid in the middle, and they have these things coming off of them. Oh, that's a shirt. What does someone do with a shirt?
Mm-hmm.
How, you
mm-hmm.
know, there's all these different ways I could put it. You know, like, if you had to think through every single thing, like, you would never leave the house. So, you know, that autopiloting of attention is really a very good thing most of the time,
yep.
Except when we autopilot on something that isn't really serving us that well. And I think that this example of drama, although we could give a lot of other examples, but certainly this drama example I think is a very good example of that, that if you're just naturally drawn to it, either in terms of the TV that you watch or how you interact with other people, you know, so when a situation comes up, your attention goes to the drama aspects of it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just being like, well, all right, possibly, but, like, whatever. I'm just letting that one go because there's other things that I want to pay attention to here that are perhaps more important than, you know, what did that look mean or something. That if you can be conscious of that, you can then perhaps begin to make some different choices about it, or still make the choice that, yeah, this is what I want to pay attention to. But at least then it's a conscious choice as opposed to just sort of like, this is what I'm paying attention to because this is what I've paid attention to in the past. And that's not necessarily a good reason to pay attention to it in the present.
Yeah, you're so right. And I can't help but drag a little bit of Dr. Barclay's executive function stuff into this conversation and relate it to exactly what you said, Ari. He's on a he's been touring the world right now talking about ADHD is really an executive functioning issue and building a new construct around it with the notion that he defines executive function. The main thing is self-regulation, which is an action that you direct back on yourself to change your behavior to change the future. And as a result, executive function is a self-directed behavior. And he talks about the brain being automatic, the automatic level, the habits, and you had talked about, you know, the autopilot, and there's a certain amount of that I think that's really, really good. But then there's the executive functioning brain, which is very effortful. It requires effort to override the automatic brain. And I think that what you're talking about here is really kind of cool because we do need that automatic pilot to kind of go on. But that notion today is if you begin to observe what your daily diet of attention is, and you can engage your executive functioning brain in it, now you can begin to override it and maybe adjust your diet in a more healthy way.
Right.
So I kind of like that. Makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's sort of, so if you know that your autopilot tends to go certain places, it's a it's much easier to do the right thing in the moment if you set things up in a better way to begin with. And I think that, you know, to me, the kind of classic example of this is, it's, you know, ironically, it's a food thing, which I've then, you know, which I use as an example for attention, so it very much fits in with the analogy you've set up here, is that if you want to eat a healthier diet, or if you want to eat fewer potato chips, the place to have the biggest impact on that is not when you're standing in the kitchen staring at the bag of potato chips. The place to have the biggest impact is in the supermarket to not bring the potato chips into the house in the first place. You know, like that is the, in the supermarket is a place that you have a much better ability to make the right choice. In that heat of the moment, it's much, much harder. So like, you know, the attention example then, kind of the classic example, is the high school kid studying with the cell phone next to them, you know, with text coming in and tweets and alerts and all sorts of other stuff going on, that every, you know, it's easy to say, oh, well, I'm just not going to pay attention to it. But that's crap, because you are going to pay attention to it, if only to have it pull your attention for a fraction of a second and then for you to kind of dismiss it, to say, you know what, ignore it, don't look at it. But it's already disrupted your attention. And if you have the ability to make that choice of, like, you know what, I'm not going to look at it, then maybe that's fine to have the phone near you because it's not really causing that big an impact on your studying. But if you are someone who, maybe not every time, but at least too often, by however you define that, if too often you do get pulled off onto your cell phone and it's 5 minutes later before you come back to your homework and an hour of homework is taking 2.5 hours to do, like if that's the reality of it, then perhaps you need to reassess whether it's worth having this attention magnet next to you while you're studying.
Whatever the
examples in adults would be.
I love what you just said. I particularly like the whole, you know, the best place to deal with your diet is when you're in the grocery store, because if you're standing in the kitchen, it's probably not the best deal, but you're actually, by understanding what the diet is, you're actually able to manage it. I got a few other thoughts I kind of want to share with you, but we need to run to a break again real quick. A reminder to our listeners, for more information on Dr. Tuckman, his books, his podcast, and much more, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Tuckman that I'm sure this show's going to land in my top 10 list. I really enjoyed this, Dr. Tuckman. It's been fun, and we stumbled on some great analogies that's really kind of bringing some things together. I didn't really just want to spend about a minute and just hint at what a graduate level of attention. And as before, you were talking about, you know, that student studying and having their phone where it might text them. And I think many times people look at like a text as that's something that you pay attention to. And for me as a coach is when I look at that, that's the object that you might be paying attention to, but the reason you would be doing is maybe there's data, like I need to know where I'm supposed to meet somebody. That's one type of a thing. Another one is like maybe your girlfriend texting you, which might not be a data thing. It more like it makes me feel good because she wants to reach out to me, so I'm the object of attention, and I'm just going a little higher level because sometimes we globalize in that and realize, hey, you know, I'm not really distracted by it. Well, yeah, if your mom's texting you and say you need to kind of come home, you're grabbing that data and you can get back to what you're doing. But if it's like a hot chick or something that's texting you, it can distract you immensely, particularly if your attention magnet is being drawn to something like that, that will take away your working memory, which we've talked about, and makes it more difficult to get back to some things. Again, that's just a kind of a graduate level attention class. But I think the key that we're talking about here is if you notice your daily diet of attention and you become conscious of it, then you can begin to realize this is what's automatic, and you can begin to engage your executive functioning brain to change the environment futuristically. And when you walk into that environment and it's in a different configuration, your attention blueprint might just change based off of that reconfigured environment. Thoughts, Dr. Tupman?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the ADHD-friendly strategies that have to do with attention and distractibility are really about kind of environmental management, or at least the ones that I think tend to be the most effective, as opposed to simply saying, well, just don't pay attention to that, tends mm-hmm. to not work very well. So I think, but in order to shift some things around the environment, you have to first know where is it that your attention is going that it, you know, shouldn't be, and shouldn't be is kind of in quotes, meaning this is not helping me accomplish what I want to accomplish. But even there, there's a bit of an asterisk on that, in the sense that if you are a teenager and you're studying, your girlfriend texting you might actually be very high on your agenda in terms of this is the most important thing, way more important than geometry. Now, mm-hmm. if you're that kid's mom, you might have a different opinion about, you know, the relative merits of some innocuous text from the girlfriend versus geometry. So, you know, sometimes when we get into these debates over distractibility or, you know, what is a distraction or not, sometimes what it reflects is actually a difference in agendas or a difference in priorities or a difference in opinions about what should be getting done. You know, so the teenager will not categorize the text from the girlfriend as a distraction. It might actually categorize the geometry homework as the distraction in that case, because the girlfriend is way more important than math class in that kid's mind.
I love that. I got a kind of a cartoon out that it basically, you know, you imagine this kid in math class. He's sitting there and you know, he's not paying attention to the teacher. He's looking at a cockroach run across the floor. The teacher would label the kid as distracted. I'd say, well, I don't. Maybe you're just kind of boring as a teacher. I think the cockroach is probably, he's just more curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is I've heard, I can't tell you how many times I've heard parents, well, you know, my kid's not motivated. I'm like, well, he's not motivated to do what you want him to do, but I think he's motivated to do whatever he is doing, which indirectly kind of really goes back to what you're saying, is it's an interpretation of what's kind of happening right there, which is just an interesting dynamic to me. But the cool part about so much of this is if it comes back to attention, and if you want to manage your attention, it really, at the end of the day, comes back to awareness at the beginning of the day, and which is what this show is about, if you can begin to notice your daily diet of attention, you're actually at that point in time empowered to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, our attention exists in order to help us accomplish our goals. Ultimately, that is the purpose of attention, that we selectively choose some stimuli to pay attention to, and the majority of the rest of the stimuli to not pay attention to. And the idea is that by paying attention to this over here and not all that over there, that will better help us accomplish our goals. And sometimes the goals are short-term, as in, I really want to know what my girlfriend is going to say. And sometimes the goals are more long-term, which is, I'd like to get into a good college so that I can, you know, do well in life and blah, blah, blah. You know, so we have competing goals, but really the purpose of attention is to help us accomplish our goals. So I think that, you know, there's an important discussion that needs to be had there, or important self-reflection that needs to be done there in the sense of, well, what are the goals that I'm actually trying to accomplish here? Like, what is important to
mm-hmm.
me? And therefore, so why, in other words, why am I paying attention?
Yep.
And to be clear about those competing goals, which is, you know, ooh, I just got a tweet from, I don't know, the Colbert Report. I love them. They're so funny, which is true. But, you know, is that the thing that I should be paying attention to? Is that the goal I should be pursuing, which is, you know, some funny thing in the moment? Or is the goal that I should be pursuing the fact that, you know what, I should really keep sorting these tax papers because that's kind of important? You know, so that we need to ask ourselves that as well is, you know, really what are the goals that our attention is serving or perhaps not serving?
You start out with selectively, which is about you observe it. You're kind of conscious, and I can't help. This has been worth its weight in gold because all of a sudden, when you described it, all of a sudden I said, you know, for time management, sometimes one of the ideas is you have somebody sit down and say, what do you want to spend your time on in the day, and then they keep a time log through the day, and they go back and they reflect on it and say, did I spend the time where I wanted it to based on my goals? And many times they find that it's very, very different, and that awareness of writing down that time log shifts their attention and they better manage it. And all of a sudden I had this, I can't wait till I have the right person say, why don't you write down, log your daily diet of attention as it happens every day as a way to make it conscious so that you can manage it just like you said. It's about selectively consuming and for goal-oriented behavior. So I just, thanks. It was a great show, but it was worth it just right there because I never thought about that. But it can be the right thing to do for some people just to help them manage it.
Yeah. And I think that what can happen sometimes is that it's not simply that other people might have a different opinion about what our priorities should be and therefore what we should be paying attention to, but we can actually have a difference of opinion within ourselves in the sense of, you know, saying, you know, okay, for the next hour, I'm going to sort these papers. That is my goal. I will spend 1 hour paying attention to these papers. But then somewhere along the way, get to a point of like, ugh, I don't really feel like sorting these. Now my goal has changed. You know, 20 minutes into it, my goal is different, and therefore where my attention is going is different. You know, so sometimes it's that kind of like best laid plans kind of thing. And either, you know, and that becomes a situation to ask ourselves, well, all right, was an hour kind of unrealistic under the circumstances, or was it kind of reasonable but something else changed, and therefore what, you know, what's my next step here?
Very well put. Very well put. As we begin to wrap this thing up, any final comments or any other ideas that you think we should get on the table before we draw it to a close?
You know, I like this idea of diet of attention. You know, what are you feeding your attention? And are you feeding your attention good, healthy things, so to speak, or are you feeding your attention a lot of kind of fluffy junk? Because there is a lot of fluffy junk. And, you know, not to kind of knock on technology and smartphones and all that, but, man, there's a lot of fluffy junk that's very, very easily accessible through our, you know, technological means, so smartphones and tablets and computers and all. I mean, there's tremendous potential to do a lot of really meaningful stuff that way, and, you know, you and I wouldn't be able to do this thing we're doing now without it. But I think it's a matter of kind of using them for good, maybe evil is too strong a word, but use them for good rather than for fluff. Maybe that's the takeaway, and to pay attention to, you know, what it is that your attention is eating on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, this is no knock on Angry Birds, but I got one of my kids who's going to play that on my. Is that a carbohydrate or protein, or is it just a sugar candy at the end of the day?
I really like
your comments. So, Dr. Tuckman, very well done. I'm so glad you came on the show. I've learned a lot here. For our listeners, again, to learn more about Dr. Tuckman and to get his books, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, Dr. Tuckman, thanks for coming on the show.
As always, thanks for having me.
Take care, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.